Hey, my name is Ryan McVitie, and I am the pastor of the River Worship. Thank you so much for joining us on our podcast. If you haven't heard about the River yet, it's an amazing move of God happening in the greater Toronto area. Yes, Toronto, Canada. It's a cold place, but we have warm hearts, and we love coming together every Tuesday night and worshiping the Lord with all we've got. We also get to dive into the Word, and that's where we're going to go right now. We're going to dive into the Word of God, and I trust and pray that it will impact you in a powerful way. If you're ever in the Toronto area, come visit us. We would love for you to worship with us together. But enjoy the message, and God bless you.
Man, the Lord has been brewing up something in me that I am so excited to share with you. It won't be long tonight, and then we got some great worship left. But the Lord just slapped me across the face about 2 weeks ago, and I've just been waiting to bring you this message. I've been sitting and reflecting and praying about this because life for me lately, if I can just vent to you for a minute, has become extremely busy. I find myself having a very hard time just to find moments where I can step back. To find moments where I can step back and even just focus on the Lord. Is there anyone in this room that is experiencing a busy life? Come on. I mean, you have bills to pay. You got to put gas in your tank. It costs $9 a liter now. You're working overtime. You're doing everything you can. I want to speak to the one in the room who is busy, who just has so much going on right now. Because it's a dangerous place to be, if I'm honest with you. And look, it's a blessing, because the alternative of not being busy at all, trust me, you don't want to be there. We'll talk about that tonight, too. That's not good. But a busy life can be a dangerous life. And every moment today can feel filled. And we haven't done things to help ourselves with that. Who has their phone with them? You got your phone right here. Look, with these things, we fill every moment that we get. You go to a waiting room, someone sits down, boom, comes out right away. You're driving your car, you see somebody walking their dog, boom, phone is out. Come to church, as soon as the preacher starts preaching, boom, phone is out. Tetris. There's always something. You wouldn't do that, not you. You know, we have this ability to work from anywhere. We can work from home, we can work on nights, we can work on the weekend, we can work on our phone, we can take calls anywhere. We have become addicted to having our time full. We have lost the art, and trust me, it is an art, of creating space in our life. Half of you, including me, can't even go to the bathroom without your phone. Let's be honest. That's disgusting. You should use a Lysol wipe on your phone tonight. We have to have our time full all the time. And we're consuming and consuming and consuming every minute. Vinny, you can turn that haze off, bro. It's like the Holy Spirit just keeps emanating in here. And it's so easy, if we're not careful, to let all that consuming that we do consume us. And to not have space for what really matters. It is becoming increasingly difficult to keep the main thing in this life. You know what I'm saying? What's the main thing? You just sang about it. Give me Jesus. He's the main thing. But when you are being pulled left and you are being pulled right and there are distractions at every single turn, it's hard in this life to keep the main thing the main thing. So if you're a busy person, this message is for you. If you're not a busy person, this message is for you too. I would like to meet you. I've never met somebody who's just like, no, I'm not busy at all. I got all the time in the world. You should do something, enroll in college or university, something. But if you're busy and you've been struggling to keep up, man, I feel the Lord has just sent this message to you tonight. So we're going to get in the Word of God right away. It's Luke chapter 10. If you have your Bible, open it up, boot it up, turn it on. Look, there's nothing wrong with a digital Bible. If somebody makes you feel less spiritual because you have your Bible on the phone, ask them, do you bring your Bible to the bathroom? Because I do. Do you bring your Bible with you every single moment that you're awake, even moments when you're asleep? I do. There's nothing wrong with that. Boot it up. Turn it on. We're going to get in the Word of God. Luke chapter 10, we're starting in verse 38. You see it on the screen. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, they're in Jerusalem, they're leaving Jerusalem, he comes to a village, this village is called Bethany, where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. This is a good thing to do. Opened her home to Jesus. Verse 39, she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. Would you look to your neighbor and say, listen? No. Say it like you're married. Listen. Say it like you have a toddler. Listen to me. Listen. Mary sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. Verse 40, but Martha was distracted. Look back at your neighbor and say, you're distracted. Say it better than that. You're distracted. I know it's probably because of my good looks. Tell them that. But this is church. Let's focus on the word of God, not your neighbor's good looks. Say, you're distracted. Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made, by all the work. So she came to him, Jesus, and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work? Look to the other neighbor that you've been ignoring all this time, rude, and tell him the work. The work. Martha says, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work? And then imagine this, tell her to help me. Martha can go to Mary herself, to her house, but she says to the Messiah, tell her to help me. Verse 41, Jesus Christ, man, won't he just do it? He says, Martha, Martha. Look back to your neighbor, your first choice. You can go back to them, your first overall pick, and call them by their first name. Martha, Martha. Melanie, Melanie. Kelly, Kelly. Dan, Dan. Manny, Manny. Come on, tell them. I can't hear you. Tell them. Jesus said, Martha, Martha. It's like an affectionate thing, you know? Martha, Martha. It's like if you only knew what I was about to say next. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things. Anyone identify with that? Worried and upset about many things? Just me? You are worried and upset about many things. But verse 42, few things are needed, but few things are needed, or indeed, only one. Go back to your neighbor and shout one thing. No, shout one thing. Martha, you're so stressed about so many things. Martha, she gets it. But indeed, only one is really needed. Get this, Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. That's what I want for you tonight. I want you to be able to choose that which is better. Not just for the next 3 hours while I preach to you. That wasn't a joke. But for the next 3 days, for the next 3 months, I want you to be able to choose that which is better. Today, I want to come at you, and I want to attack every good thing, even the really good things that are keeping you from the God things that you need in your life. Do you know that even the good things that you do can keep you from the God thing that you really need? Listen, Martha wasn't sinning. Martha wasn't up in the club, okay? Martha was preparing for Jesus Christ. She's doing ministry work. And Jesus is saying, no, you don't get it. You haven't chosen the better part. Did you know that in an effort to have your house in order, because that's what Martha was doing, she was trying to get her house in order, in an effort to have your house in order, you can miss the one thing that will actually save your house. In an effort to have the bills paid, in an effort to get the kids to the practice, to get the kids to the class, in an effort for you to get to your class, to get your assignments done, to finish first in your class, in an effort to be a good spouse, a good boyfriend, a good girlfriend, a good friend, in an effort to be social, to go to all the events, to support all the people, to do all the right things. Do you know that in an effort to do all the good things, you can miss the one thing? The one thing. And I don't want anyone leaving this room tonight missing the one thing, the better part, as Christ called it. And here's what's crazy. We are so addicted to work, to titles, to success, to money. Those are the things that we call the better part of life. You know what Christ is saying to Mary is the one thing? That. The one thing is to sit at Christ's feet. What if the Lord came to your house and you missed him because you were so busy working? That is the scenario that's happening in Luke chapter 10. What is that one thing, though? We got to answer that. Here's what that one thing is. It's closeness to your Savior. That's what I want to talk to you about. Closeness to your Savior. Friends, our first point tonight, and this is so important. What you keep most close matters. What you keep closest to you matters. What that one thing is that you hold most dear and most close matters. Don't keep your work closer than your worship. This is what Martha did. Don't keep your work closer than your worship. The prince of preachers who lived a couple hundred years ago, Charles Spurgeon, he put it like this when he talked about them. He said that the Martha spirit at the end of the day asks, is the job done? Yes or no? That's me, to be honest with you. I am a workaholic. I want to get things done. Productivity is my love language. I want to get things done. At the end of the day, I asked, was the job done today? Yes or no? That's the Martha spirit. Christ is coming after the Martha spirit in Luke chapter 10. Spurgeon said, that's the Martha spirit, but the Mary spirit doesn't ask at the end of the day if the job is done, yes or no. The Mary spirit, the Mary posture at the end of the day asked, is Jesus pleased, yes or no? Because friends, trust me, you can get the job done and not feel fulfilled. You can get the promotion at work and not feel valued. You can get the car of your dreams and a week later not even really care much about it anymore. But when you serve Christ, when you please your Lord and Savior, that's an entirely new type of peace and contentment that enters your life. This is what Spurgeon is saying to you. You can give the Lord a clap for that, absolutely. What I'm trying to tell you tonight is it's not just the bad and the ugly things that keep you from God. This is not attractive preaching. It's not just the bad and ugly sins sometimes that can keep you from the Lord. Anything that has become closer than God in your life becomes a problem. Because a good thing can't replace a God thing. There's nothing wrong with good things. Family is good. Work is good. Religion can certainly be good, but soon as it replaces closeness with your Savior, now it's coming into this space where only God should inhabit. And in a world today, my friends, that is like Martha, work, 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 more hours, more days, more jobs, more bills, more titles, more that we need to achieve, we are called, Christ is calling you tonight to have a heart like Mary. To sit at his feet. Mary got it. She understood that if Jesus pulls up, I need to be close. I need to be close to him. So I want you to help me. This is the last time I'll work you so hard tonight. Would you shout to your neighbor the title of this message? Stay close.
Stay close.
Stay close.
Stay close.
This is what Christ is telling you. It's why it's in the Bible. He's saying, stay close. Years ago, I got blessed to go on a pretty cool trip. I went to Hawaii. Anyone ever been to Hawaii? Hawaii is incredible. If you have not been, it's far, it's expensive, but it is amazing. The beaches, the food, it's incredible. We went on this trip, my wife and I, and we were with my family. This was early on in our marriage, actually very early on in our marriage. And we got this opportunity to go out on a boat. You know those big boat deals where a whole bunch of people go out on a boat and they take you out in the ocean? Well, they take us out there and they say, hey, this is an amazing coral reef and this is a great place to snorkel. I love to snorkel. I love to dive. And my family, we have this weird, it's not really weird. It's really just toxic and unhealthy. We have this thing that we do where when we go to teach somebody, we just We throw them in the pool. You know what I'm saying? We don't tell them how to swim. We throw them in the swim and just say, hey, you got this. You'll make it. That's how I learned what I learned. And I'm still living, barely, but I'm here. So my wife and I, newlyweds, newly married, we are there. And the captain of this boat says, hey, here's the spot. Here's the gear. So I grab the gear. And Lindsay's, and I'm really excited because I love this. This is my natural habitat. I love the water. And Lindsay's like, hey, I've never snorkeled before. And we're like 4 miles from the shore out in a boat. And that is very deep water. I'm like, hey, no worries. You got this. You'll be fine. I push her in. And then I throw the snorkel to her, the mask. How many know it's hard to put a mask on in the water? You're supposed to do that in the boat. So she's already a little vexed. And I say, don't worry, you got this. You're a strong swimmer. She is very athletic. I'm like, you got this. You'll be fine. Strong swimmer. You'll be okay. And she says, okay, fine. I'll do it. Just stay close. Her one request to me, just stay close. Great. I help her with the mask. We get it all situated. Everything's fine. She starts looking down. If you haven't seen under the ocean before, it's a whole new world. This is an incredible experience. It's like Finding Nemo comes to life for her. She's like, there's Nemo, there's Dory, look at this, this is crazy, there's reef, there's all this, and it's beautiful, and we're having the best time, and she's checking to make sure I'm close, she's still a little uncomfortable. Then something happens, some sea turtles come by, they're like, yo, dude, what's up? You know how they do. So they came by, but these are big sea turtles. I'm like, I don't know how she's going to feel about this. These things are like 3-4 feet in size, they're pretty big. She does great. She's like pointing at them and, you know, popping her head up. We talk every now and then, putting it back, popping her head up. And we are having a great time. And everything is going great. And I'm so happy because this is something I love to do. I'm sharing it with my new wife. This is amazing. And then I look up and we're not that close to the boat anymore. We're a good ways off from the boat, but I'm still with her. And then I don't see any other people in the water. And I start to go, hold on, this is a little sus. So I look at the boat. And the captain is standing on the swim platform of the boat. And the captain does something that you never want to see when you are in the ocean. Anybody know what this means? That ain't baby shark, okay? This is you about to get eaten, shark. I see that sign from this captain of that boat. Y'all, I turn into Michael Phelps. I am breaststroke, I am going, I am making my way. I'm saying, Lord, there is no way I'm going out by a shark bite. I am confessing my sins with every single step. I'm envisioning this shark just, I'm like, I hope it's the left leg. If I have the right leg still, I can make it through. I am just going, and eventually I get to the boat and my hand touches that platform and the relief that comes through my body. Thank God. I get up on the boat and I'm just so relieved. I'm like, I made it. And I look up at the captain. And he has his arms crossed looking at me, just shaking his head. I'm like, bro, what is your problem? I'm alive. I survived a shark attack. And then it hits me. I have a wife. And she said her one rule was what? I am not close. I am on the boat and she is way out there. And I look back. And she's still got her head down, just swimming, having a great time. She doesn't even know what has happened. And I go, man, this marriage was great for 6 months. And then something worse happens. This didn't mean shark. This meant whale. Guys, I'm not kidding. A whale that was like the size of the boat. This thing must have been 40, 50 feet. Comes up and shows its back over the water, has to be maybe 30, 40 meters from my wife. And I did not jump in that water to go get her. I'm like, I am the worst husband ever. She thankfully doesn't see the whale. The captain is freaking out because you're not supposed to be that close to whales. He'll get in trouble. So I motioned to her to come over. She comes over. She's like, oh, babe, what's wrong? I'm like, oh, nothing. Just come on the boat. It's time to eat lunch. We got this. Let's go. Let's get lunch. Until everybody tells her what kind of cheap, no good, abandoning husband she married on the boat. And you know what she says to me? She says, Ryan, I only asked one thing. Stay close. It was the only thing I asked and you didn't do it. And I had a lot of apologizing to do after that. She asked just one thing because she trusted in me. She knew if she was with me, she was going to be okay. She said, please just stay close. The question I have for you, not about sharks, but do you stay close to your Savior? Do you stay close to your Lord? Because what he's saying in this passage is you're stressed about so many things. Telling other people what to do, the work you have to do, you're distracted. But there's only one thing. Stay close to me. Stay at my feet. Listen to me. And my friends, it's a simple message, but here's the thing about the gospel. The gospel is not complicated. Applying the gospel in your life is what's difficult. We are called to stay close. Is Christ the thing that you keep most close? That's my question for you tonight, because proximity, closeness is very, very important. Why is proximity so important? Why is what you keep close so important? Here's why. You're not going to like this. You're going to wish the worship team was up here, not me. Because one day, no matter how much you have it together, you will fall. One day I will fall. I have fallen before. One day I will fall. Hopefully not off the stage and on YouTube, but it might happen one day. I mean a serious fall. There will be a day in your life, and sometimes it's a text message. He's gone. She's gone. Many in the room, you've experienced that. Maybe it's an email, I'm sorry, you're no longer needed at this job. I don't know what your fall will be, but I am convicted to be honest with you as a preacher, because a lot of the time up here, we just say, hey, follow Jesus and everything will be perfect. No, there's still hardship when you follow Christ. You're still gonna fall. But here's why I say what you keep most close is important and it matters, proximity matters, because here's the thing. When you fall, when you're in free fall, when you start dropping and you're freaking out because you're falling faster than you ever imagined you could fall, let me tell you what you do and what you don't do. What you do is you grab for whatever is closest. Whatever that thing is you keep most close, when you're in free fall, you grab it. What you don't do when you're dropping, when you're falling, when all of your life is falling apart, is go, should I latch on to this right now? Will that be good for me? Maybe, maybe not. Oh, let me move on over to here. No, no. When you're dropping, you grab what is closest. It's how we get in addiction trouble. It's how we get in all kinds of trouble in our life. Because friends, trust me, you will fall. And if you are the person in this room who's going, who is this kid in a gray jacket telling me this? I'm never going to fall. You're the one that's going to fall the hardest. It's going to hurt the most for you if you think that you're never going to fall. But what you keep closest to you will determine if you survive or thrive from that fall. Because friends, when you fall, if you can latch on to Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one who will never leave you, forsake you, abandon you, the one who stays closer than the brother, the one who can get you through any valley, if you can latch on to him, you're gonna make it. But if you latch on to anything else, yeah, come on, you can praise the Lord. If you latch on to anything else, though, it's gonna come up short. That spouse, she might be incredible. He might be incredible, but there will be seasons in your life where he can't do it for you. She can't pull you back up. What you keep most close matters, because there will be a time that you fall. And you need that thing to be Christ. This is why Christ is saying, it's not those other things, it's the one thing. One day you will fall. Speaking of the fall, the original fall, the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve. Eve fell pretty hard. Eve made a mistake. It's the original sin. We all know the story. Eve had a fall moment. There's one tree. Eve, you can have everything, but there's one forbidden tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which, by the way, it's another sermon for another day. There's a reason why that was the name. The reason why that was the name was because, hey, Eve, you can do everything except decide what is good and what is evil. God says, that's my job. But Eve, you know the story, she ate the fruit, she fell. And it's funny, because here's the thing. That may have been the first sin to enter humanity. That may have been her first sin, but it was not her first mistake. That was not the first mistake that Eve and then Adam made. There was a mistake made before. And when I meet Eve one day in heaven, you ever hear in church people say ignorant things? Like, when I get to heaven, I'm gonna give Adam and Eve a piece of my mind. You need a little apple that bad? when I get to heaven, I am going to fall at Eve's feet and say thank you. Because you know what the original sin was? The original sin was pride, ultimately. I'll break that down for you in a minute. But here's the thing. If it wasn't Eve who did it, it would have been Ryan. Because I have pride in me. So when I get there, I'm going to say thank you that thousands of years later, we're saying Eve and not Ryan. Because it could have been me. It could have been you. I'm not going to ask her why she did it. I know why she did it. It's pride. Here's what I'm going to ask her. You ready? This is my profound question for Eve when I get to heaven. Girl, what the heck are you doing letting a snake that close to you? Anybody here like snakes? There's like four of you. Leave. That's weird. That's twisted. Don't leave. That's messed up. Everyone's welcome in church. Just don't bring your snake. I'm serious about that. We're not that kind of church. I hate snakes. You know why? Because I've never met a snake that's nice. Snakes are out to get you. Eve's mistake, her first mistake, was not eating the fruit. Her first mistake was letting the enemy that close to her. Her first mistake was letting the enemy come that close to her. Friends, if you don't hear anything else I say tonight, hear this. Don't play with that which can kill you. Even worse, don't let close that which wants to kill you, that wants to harm you. Eve, what are you doing speaking to something that is so beneath you? Why are you entertaining this conversation? But let's make it practical, because tonight, River, I'm not just talking about reptiles. Why are you speaking to someone who wants to harm you? Why do you keep going back to the relationship where he did it once and he did it twice, but oh no, the third time will be different? Why are you going back to the website that almost destroyed you last month? Yeah, you want this guy out of here right now. It's time for worship. Why do we allow things close to us that we know are seeking to harm us? We all have those friends. We know we shouldn't run with them because they're not cheering for us. They're competing against us. So if they can push us down to put them up, they'll do it. Why do we keep letting them close? Or here's something else we do. We say, you know what? I can run with them. I can go to that place. I can do that, whatever that may be. And I can still stay holy. I'm strong enough. I can do it. Because I can be in that space without making that decision. Friends, here's the problem with that. With saying, hey, I can do both the word and the world. The word and the world have become increasingly farther apart in 2024. It is not a society we live in anymore where the world and the word are close together. And you will stretch, and you will stretch, and you will stretch. And James deals with this. James chapter 1, verse 8 says, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. You will stretch with one foot trying to have in the world and one foot trying to be in the word. But there comes a point where these jeans don't stretch anymore. And I'm not going to show you that point. Don't worry. But there comes a point where you keep getting stretched and the gap is so far that you break. You tear. And then you'll have to ask, what's closest to me? Because what you latch on into in that moment will dictate what happens next in your life. So I'm asking you tonight, what is closest to you? Who is closest to you? A great spouse is a great thing, but a great spouse is a terrible God. A great mom, a great dad is a blessing, but a terrible God. A great job so you can provide for your family is a blessing, a great thing, but it's a terrible God. The good things cannot replace the God things. Be careful what you keep close, what you allow close. Point two, we're almost there. Not every voice deserves an audience. It's a bit of a myth that we have fabricated in church. Hear out everyone. Listen to everyone. Some of you have been told, rightfully so, that you need to forgive everyone. That is in the Bible. Absolutely. You and I are ordered to forgive. We must forgive. In fact, unforgiveness is like a poison that you keep inside, but it only hurts you, not them. Unforgiveness will tear you up. But friends, hear me when I say this. You are ordered to forgive in the Word of God, but you are not ordered to trust again. at least not right away. To forgive someone doesn't mean that you have to let them back close, at least not right away. Sis, this is for you. He broke your heart. You got to forgive him. It doesn't mean you got to give your heart back to him. Forgiveness and trust are very different things. He's got to repair what was broken before you give it to him again. You can give the chance, but forgiveness and trust are different things. The Bible says love your enemy, and it means it. I have to love my enemy, but it doesn't say I have to let my enemy into my camp. Find a spot in the Bible where it says love your enemy and always let them in your camp. That's nonsense, but it's something that we almost teach in church. In war, I mean physical combat, there are terrible wars happening all around the world right now. Proximity and closeness in war is everything. Why is it everything? Because there comes a point in war where close is too close. And you can no longer defend from your enemy if they're that close to you. That's a point in real physical war, combat war, but it's also true in spiritual war. In emotional war, which is raging against all of us, there's a point where close is too close. For Eve, it was too close. I don't know what area it is for you. I know there are areas in my life where I've let things get too close, and I can no longer defend them because I've allowed them to be too close. Be mindful, friends, of what you allow close, what we allow close. God talks about this all the time. His half-brother in James, the book of James, James puts it this way. Chapter 4, verse 8 says, come close to God, and God will come close to you. Anyone thankful for that? Can we give the Lord some praise? Yeah, that feels better. This has been what I call pin drop preaching. This is not the stuff I like to do. Come close to God, and God will come close to you. Uh-oh. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts. For your loyalty is divided between God and the world. Come close. Come back. Close to the world and close to the word is no longer possible. It's why God tells us time and time again to stay close to him. In Psalms, he tells us again, Psalm 32, he says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. That's a blessing. But be not like a horse or a mule, always a good word of advice, without understanding, which must be curbed with bit and bridle, or it won't stay near. What he's saying is don't be like an animal that constantly has to be corrected to stay close, because correction is painful. Stay close to me. How? How, Lord? How do we stay close to you? Well, Psalm 145 says, the Lord is near to all who call on him. That's all you have to do. But all those who call on him in truth, call on him with your whole mess. Call on him with the bad thoughts that you had. Don't hide it back from him. Newsflash, God has already seen it. He knows what you did last summer. He knows what you'll do next summer. He knows what I've done, and he still chooses me anyway. He still chooses you anyway. All we have to do is call upon him, and he's close. But we got to bring him the whole story, the whole truth. John chapter 15 says it this way, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. What is to abide? It means to be close. He says, I am the vine and you, me, we, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. Remember Mary and Martha? You're doing all the things, but there's just one thing. Apart from him, we can do nothing. Here's what Christ is saying in John 15. Without him, we eventually always run out. No matter what area it is, if there's an area of our life that we kick him out, we eventually run out. I don't know if it's relationship, if it's finances, if it's faith, but I tell you, if we don't keep him close, we will run out. In every single area. Last point, it's gonna get better, don't worry. Point three, he is the one voice that matters. He's the one voice that matters. Some of us, we've been hearing a lot of voices. There are voices that we hear in our head constantly. things that people have said to us years ago, unresolved conflict, doubts that we have about ourselves. But there's only one voice that truthfully really matters. Mary got this. She understood this. Charles Spurgeon, who we talked about earlier, he said, the only way to get to revival is to begin at the feet of Jesus, just like Mary, at the Lord's feet. First, you must go where Mary went, then you can work like Martha. Where did Mary go? What did Mary do? Verse 39, you can put it back up on the screen. She sat at the Lord's feet, but then she did something else. She sat at the Lord's feet listening. Say to your neighbor one more time, listen. Say it again, listen. She sat at the Lord's feet listening. That is the best posture that we can ever have in our life. But it's a skill that we have lost. It's a skill that I have lost. Are there any self-professing poor listeners in the house? Listening is hard for you? Listening is very hard for me. I got married and I had to learn that I'm a bad listener. Because see, how I am, I want to fix things. Those of you who are dating, who's dating? Put your hands up in the room. Who's dating right now? Premarital counseling coming your way. Free. Okay? Free. You don't have to pay me for it. She doesn't always need you to fix it. He doesn't always need you to fix it. What she or he does need is for you to hear them, to sit with them, to empathize with them, to stay close to them. See, I love Lindsay more than anything in the world. I love Lindsay so much. She's my wife. I'm so blessed with her. So when she is in a difficult situation, you know what I want to do right away? I want to fix it. So she'll tell me the problem, and I'll stop listening because I'm already thinking of how I'm going to fix it. And I think that's a good thing for me to do because I love her, but it's actually a cold and callous thing for me to do. She's a smart girl. She's got a doctor of education degree. Do you think she needs little Ryan to fix her problems? Don't call me little Ryan. That's just something that we can do. She doesn't need me to fix everything for her, but she does need to feel heard. I am so bad at listening. I have had to train myself how to be a listener. Guys, you probably suck at listening too. Okay? If a guy is like, hey man, Ryan, you want to go get a coffee? I'm like, oh no. Are you okay? Did something happen in your life? Like, yeah, if you need me, bro, I'll do it. But I'm going to start praying for you. He said, no, I just want to talk. What? You just want to talk? No, man, we should go to the gym or we should watch a game or we should go to a game or we should do something. I'm very good at doing. I'm very bad at listening. Christ is saying, we have become Martha. We're so good at doing and we're now so bad at listening. We're so good at staying busy, but we're so bad at listening. There's one thing, but we're distracted. The Greek word, if we actually break it down, I don't have time to do it for you. The word, it actually means to be pulled in many different directions. I know that's how so many of you feel in the room tonight. You're pulled this way, you're pulled that way. It's like I can't get any peace because there's tension, and I'm constantly pulled left, and I'm constantly pulled right. That's the word. That's what Christ is talking about. Martha has made it about so many things, so she is so stressed out because she's made it about so much. And she even gets to a point where now she's making it about other people and not about her. She says to Jesus, don't you care that Mary's doing this or not doing that? How many times as Christians do we do that? You hear what that church did last week? Woo! You hear what she did? What he did? The Lord has something to say about that. He says, maybe we should look at the plank in our own eye before we start condemning the speck in theirs. What I have found in my short 35-year life is the solution to my problems are never someone else changing. It's me changing. It's me getting back to Christ. It's me listening again. This is what Christ is saying. This is where he's saying that Martha got it all wrong. And what's sad for Martha is that constantly doing even the good, the mundane, the preparations, the work in life, constantly doing has pulled her away from closeness with God. So now she's worried and upset about many things. Maybe that's you here tonight. You are worried and you're upset about many things. Christ is saying there is one solution and one solution alone. Forget all that. They're real. He is not minimizing. The work still needs to be done. But focus indeed on only one, on one thing. There's only one thing that will do it. Jonathan, start playing those keys so I close sooner and we can worship quicker. Worship team, y'all can come back up. Come on back up here. Christ is saying, there's one thing, but you're so busy, you don't do it anymore. There's one thing. David figured it out. David figured it out. In Psalms, he said, if there's one thing, Psalm 27, if there's one thing that I desire, just one, if I only can pick one thing that I desire, it's that I will seek and dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Translation, to be close. If there's just one thing, I can tell you, David did it all. Anointed king, fugitive, greatest king Israel had ever seen, adulterer, murderer, restored. He did it all, and he's telling you if there's just one thing, it's to be close to God. Jesus told it to the rich young ruler. He said, you still lack one thing. This man had it all. He had titles, he had success, he had money. He had comfort, he had it all, but you still lack one thing. What do you say? Come, follow me. Stay close to me. Stay close to me. I don't want to have to keep correcting you. Come, sit at my feet, listen, stay close to me. The Apostle Paul achieved so much. He said, brethren, I do not count myself too apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those which are behind me and reaching toward those things which are ahead of me, I press toward the mark, the goal of the prize, which is what? The call of God in Christ Jesus. I press towards Christ Jesus. Closeness to him. It's the one thing. It's the one thing. Worship team, come on. Y'all are scared or something? Come up here. These people want you back. I've been getting in their business and they don't like it. Come back up. Christ Jesus is saying to someone in this room, I don't know who this message was for. It wasn't the one I wanted to preach. I like the clappy messages where we can get up and dance about the goodness of God. But there's someone in this room who is so stressed out and they're being pulled left and they're being pulled right. Christ is saying, stop. For a moment. I know you're worried about them. You're comparing yourself to them. You're comparing yourself to her. You want me to change his heart. You want me to have her forgive you. You want me to do all these things, but stop. There's one thing. There's one thing and only one. Forsake all the rest for the one who will never forsake you. Stand to your feet. We're going to come back and worship. I appreciate the 8 people that clap for a hard word from God. I appreciate that. So you have a choice tonight. I like to always leave you with the choice because God gave you free will. He won't make you do anything. You know that? I can't make you do anything. I'm just a 35-year-old, slightly overweight white guy. But you have a choice tonight. You can be Martha and just keep on doing. I promise you the job will be there tomorrow. After you're checked out already, you're looking for your jackets. Gotta get home, gotta do this, gotta get ready. So you can do that. You can be Martha. You can keep Marthaing around. It's not a word. You can keep working and working and working. And I hope it gets better for you. I really do. But there's one more thing you can do. You can do the one thing. Indeed, only one, as Christ says it. You can sit at the feet of Jesus and listen. I promise you, he's here. He's near. Someone asked me one time, how come the voice of God is so quiet? How come it's always a whisper? Because he's close. You don't need to yell when you're close. He's here. Where can you flee from his presence? He's here. But you can be the Martha. or you can be the Mary. Don't trade the one thing, my friends, for the many things. Because the many things will not bring you peace. You can be the Martha and every day evaluate your performance. And here's what's going to happen. You're always going to feel like you have fallen short. Or you can be Mary and evaluate Jesus' performance. And you won't fall short. You'll fall in love deeper and deeper. So tonight is an invitation. I've been talking for 42 minutes just to tell you one thing. Keep the main thing, the main thing. His arms are open wide. He's the one thing that you need. Don't give me money. Don't give me fame. Don't give me success. Don't give me followers. Don't give me clout. Don't give me style. Give me Jesus. Because he's the one thing. He's your one thing.